I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from Hot Springs, Arkansas at KUHS LP 97.9. And for the vinyl aficionados out there, the LP doesn't stand for long play. It's KUHS Low Power Community Commercial Free Radio. And KUHS is a trendsetter, as the station is also solar powered. Come along and join the founders and visionary owners Cheryl Ruda and Zach Smith. Cheryl Ruda, how cool to be here.
I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah.
What a surprise.
Tell us about your radio station. This is a pretty new thing, isn't it?
Right. We've been on air about a year. Mm-hmm. We got our license, I think it was September 3rd of last year, and we've started broadcasting right away.
So what stimulated making that jump and doing it?
I have to confess, this was my husband Zach's brainchild. He always wanted to have a radio station, and he thought it would be such a cool concept to have a radio station in a cafe. So when he heard that the FCC was going to open up this low-power license, which was the first time they had done this, that he got right on it and started planning. Our friends at Low Key Arts, which at the time was Bill Solider and Shay Childs, they're our umbrella organization, so we were able to apply for our license through them.
And where are they?
They're here in town. Bill actually just got another job, but Shay's still with us, and we've got some new directors over at Low-Key Arts. It's very exciting. It's just fine.
So I presume that the model is serving the community.
Absolutely. I mean, we've got 65 volunteer DJs that come in and play music. We're mostly a music station at this point.
So not too much talk.
Not too much talk, but we'll move into that, I think. We're kind of taking it slowly, just trying to get everything rolling and get all our systems dialed in still. There's just a whole lot that goes into this.
So within the genre of music itself, I presume it's regional, local musicians whenever and wherever you can.
Wherever we can, yeah. Some DJs really focus on that, and other DJs just focus on a specific style of music. Some DJs are all over the map. You never know what you're going to hear. We always tell people, if you don't like it, just come back in 2 hours. It'll be different.
That's really cool. And are you 24 hours a day, or do you go dark for a while?
No, we're 24 hours a day. Yeah, sometimes it's the computer DJing, but there's always music going on.
The big question for anybody is funding. How do you keep the lights on and keep it going?
Well, one thing we really focused on when we designed the concept for the station was to just keep our overhead as low as possible. And we did a lot of fundraising, and that was where, you know, Bill Solider's help was invaluable, because they were throwing parties, they were doing all sorts of events, so that we were able to raise about $30,000 before we started building out the station. Everything's paid for, so our overhead is so low.
And it's a non-profit, I presume.
Correct. Yeah.
Very, very cool. So talk about some of your visions for fundraisers and events to promote everything.
This is where we need Zach. But really, our vision for fundraising would just be having great community events that everybody can enjoy. We're really trying to stay away from pledge drives if we can avoid it. Just kind of figure out what the community wants to do and try and have some fun with it. This really is here to be a fun thing.
That's so cool. Don't lose that vision.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. It's no fun if you're not having fun.
Right. That is the... I'm going to quote you on that.
Please put it on the blackboard.
And so one of the things we did this year, last year at this time when we were still building up the station, there is a grassroots radio conference held every year, and it's really, it's exactly for what we're doing here. People getting together and talking about all things community radio. Mm-hmm. And it was up in New York. We just couldn't get there because we were just in over our heads here. But we had this crazy idea. We're like, let's host it. So this year, sure enough, they're like, sure, you can host it.
Nationwide.
So we're like, oh, well, that'll be easy next year. Of course, now we're in the thick of it. And there's a whole lot that goes into planning a conference, but it's going to happen October 7th through 10th. And we've got lots of people coming into town to come talk about radio. It's pretty special. Hey, look who's here. It's Zach Smith.
And Zach is founder?
Founder, station manager of KUHS here in Hot Springs.
Hi, Zach.
How's it going?
Good. Did you know we were here? Perfect timing.
No, I just got lucky. Tom. I'm glad you guys showed up. I was just over there at Maxwell Blades, one of our DJs. So he's also gave us some mugs for the Grassroots Radio Conference.
And that's what we were just talking about. And who's coming? Do you have a... list or?
Yeah, so we've got a big list, but it's not just, you know, I can say Al Davis and Ursula Rodenberg and Betty McArdle and Mishy Bradley, and it might not mean a whole lot unless you're in the community radio system, but I will tell you this, that these are luminaries of grassroots community radio, and a lot of people who have dedicated their careers to ensuring that voices all over America get recorded and distributed. We'll have people here from Pacifica. We'll have people here from Prometheus, which is a radio organization that was instrumental in drawing up the rules for low power FM.
Is low power FM the future of radio in America? Community voices across America.
Well, I think it really is important. And the Telecommunications Act of 96, after that, we saw this enormous consolidation where we saw multiple station ownerships under large corporate umbrellas and this sort of commodification of playlists. And, you know, I know a guy who's, you know, the last employee of a 100,000-watt classic rock station in Springfield. And you're just like, wow, one employee left. I see LPFM as taking it back, and in the way that one of my analogies is like when Macintoshes put desktop publishing in every storefront in the 80s, like we saw this great rise of small magazines and design and font, and there was this great flowering of skill sets related to that commodification of the technology. Well, we're there again, and not only can people podcast and make their voices heard in that way, but you can just go out and get your own license, you know?
I love it. Let's go back in time for a moment. We were wondering about the vision and the birthing of your radio station.
The vision started for me. I was underemployed in Winston-Salem, North Carolina in 2000. Well, it was, I guess it was 99, right? At the cusp of the first LPFM filing window. And I heard about it. And I was sitting in a coffee shop thinking, wow, wouldn't it be great if it was like right here? If like that guy over there was blowing a mocha and that guy over there was spinning records, like if it was all together. So that was my first idea. Then fast forward a decade, and I was now living in Hot Springs with my wife Cheryl. We had this sort of derelict building that we had picked up, not really knowing what we were going to do with it. We were slowly renovating it, and lo and behold, there's a new filing window, and it clicked for me, and I said, wow, this is like, it's an opportunity to complete that vision. And
it was almost meant to be.
And well, you know, I do believe in coincidences. But it really was perfect. So we had the space, we had the friends, we had the opportunity, and we really went for it.
Going forward, vision, hopes.
Yeah, hopes and dreams for the station. So, you know, again, one of the things I want to do is I want to concentrate on producing things and making this a voice for our place. One of the problems that I find on, like, say, the internet with, I don't want to pick on any particular thing, but one of the things you find is that it becomes like an echo chamber, and one person will say it, and then it will be repeated over here and over there, and you'll get the same thing again and again and again, and it seems as if it's some sort of a zeitgeist or something, but in fact, it's just, you know, a couple of voices that are being amplified. And my vision is that by concentrating on our physical space and saying, wow, our radio waves only go this far, that's really what we can concentrate on in terms of telling stories, in terms of talking to our people, in terms of getting people in the studio to play their music. And I don't really have to tell the stories of what's going on in Jersey or Oregon. You know, I can tell the stories of what's happening within my pattern. And it's actually kind of freeing in that way.
And what works the best for you for driving local listenership, getting the word out?
You know, it's interesting. We've got so many projects on our plate that we've just had a build it and they will come attitude. And one of the advantages of it being LPFM and it being nonprofit and it being community supported, volunteer supported, is that as long as the volunteers are here, we don't have to go out and sell a bunch of ads. We don't have to go out and raise a pile of money. You know, like our power bill for our transmitter is paid by the sun. You know, we took that on and said, we're not going to sign up with the, you know, the coal burners. We're going to fundraise at the beginning and put it on solar power. And so
are you leading the charge as far as low power solar powered radio stations in America?
Yeah, you know, it's totally possible. Certainly LPFM makes it easy because, you know, 100 watts is your absolute limit, and you can easily do that.
But are there others doing solar power?
There are others doing solar power. I mean, we just ran the numbers, and in a commercial account up there, you know, in about a year and a half of paying a commercial account, we could pay for the photovoltaic. So you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense to not do it from the beginning. There's a guy in New Mexico above Taos who did that because the power lines were going to charge him $250,000 to run power to. He's got a full power station, like a 30,000 watt station running on PV up there. So run the numbers, I say. Yeah, I just want to say, like, again, I want to get back to, you know, it being for the people here, and hopefully we can become like a social heart, and people will come belly up to the bar or sit down for some pizza, and they'll hear some music from their neighbor, and maybe someone is saying something on air that resonates with them, and they can literally walk down the hall and talk to that person, and we can build connections, and when that person gets out of the studio, they can walk around the hall and meet their fans, and that we can build communication that isn't always virtual, but is actually here in meet space, where we actually look at each other in the eye and shake hands and realize that we all are neighbors here in Hot Springs.
So a true community center.
Yeah, that's really my vision. That's really my hope.
Cheryl, any parting thoughts from you?
Well, I was just going to say that if you wanted to learn more about solar power radio stations, you could come to the Grassroots Radio Conference, where there will be several workshops on solar power, among a million other aspects of running a radio station. And you can find out more about that at grc2016.net.
Love it. Cheryl, Zach, thank you so much. What a pleasure. I'm so glad you rolled in.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Tom. Thanks for showing up and asking some questions. We appreciate it.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Hot Springs, Arkansas. The Underbed music was performed by Suzanne and Jim, recorded live at the historic Arkansas Museum in Little Rock, Arkansas.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin reporting from Knoxville, Tennessee, Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Steve Cook contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.
Suzanne and Jim. I am Suzanne. He is Jim. We have a website, www.suzanneandjim.com. That's SUZANNEANDJIM.com. Come visit us on the web. We are happy to be here at the Ham Museum, which is a historic Arkansas museum here in Little Rock, Arkansas. We travel full time all over the country.
Charles Lindbergh flew his plane all the way to France. Most of the way he flew out of the seat of his pants. Good old American know-how, that's the way it ought to be. And if he's good enough for Lindy, he's good enough for me.
If he's good enough for Lindy, he's good enough for me. If he's good enough for Lindy, he's good enough for me. If he's good enough for Lindy, he's good enough for me. Herbert Hoover is the only man to keep our country free. Thank you.
He saved us from the Kaiser, now he'll give us something more. He'll serve as a president of the land of the free, and if he's good enough for Lundy, he's good enough for me.